Hey, what's up? It's Marcus Williams, and Jeremy Fisher is coming to the Bow Valley. He's playing the Banff Center on Friday, November 6th, and Saturday, November the 7th. And I got a chance to speak with him about his musical career. How's it going, Jeremy?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Now, Lemon Squeeze, your most recent album, right? I understand you wanted to write a kind of a folk album, but then that sort of took a twist, and now it didn't kind of come out that way. Can you explain kind of how that happened?
Yeah, I just sat down to write songs on my acoustic guitar, and nothing was happening. So the producer suggested I try writing on another instrument, and I'd always wanted to make a piano record. So I sat down at the piano and started writing, and it was kind of like every day I would practice my scales and stuff like a kid does. It was sort of a learning process, you know, and I think it put me in that kind of beginner mindset that made it exciting to write music, so I just started coming up with new stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, the piano's definitely an underrated instrument, in my opinion. But what was the most difficult part about that transition, you know, besides sort of the learning curve of switching instruments?
Well, learning to play the songs live.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
That was the toughest thing. I mean, you know, I only play about maybe 3 to 5 songs live on the piano, but it took me a couple months of regular practice to be able to like play them well, sing them at the same time, point my face at a microphone instead of looking down at my fingers. So that was the biggest, the steepest learning curve.
Right. Would you write another piano kind of bass album, or is there another instrument you're kind of curious about?
Well, I would like to get back to the acoustic guitar on this next record, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, I still practice piano most days that I can, and this ideas keep coming to me that way. So I kind of don't want to, you know, shut that tap off, you know?
Right. Right. Now, what part of being a musician has changed throughout the years? Because you've been kind of in the game for a while now, and What's kind of the biggest change you've noticed with, like, yourself being a musician, the industry, or?
Yeah, I used to spend a lot of time just writing music and performing, and now with all the different tools that are available, like through social media and, you know, even how much the technology has changed, being able to record at home, I find that the things that I do are much wider and more diverse, you know, like in a day I might be writing, I might be practicing part of the day, I might have a rehearsal, and then I'll have to do a whole bunch of, like, you know, tending to my Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that to kind of like pump up the shows I've got coming up. You know, I might have to do some recording, I might have to make some videos. Like it's a lot, and it's, while that is, you know, kind of daunting sometimes, it's also pretty exciting and pretty fun.
Right. Now, way back in 2001, when you kind of started touring with your independent album, you did that on a bicycle, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah. How did that idea kind of come to...
I had a bike, and I didn't have a car, and I'd done some bike touring before, and I just thought that it would be a great way to get out and tour my record. I think that, you know, I've always had an affinity for sustainable transportation, and I think that it had a little bit to do with that as well. You know, I kind of wanted to prove to myself and maybe other people that you can do a North American tour on your own human power. So there were a lot of reasons, but the main one was just lifestyle. I just enjoyed it.
Awesome. Do you have time to hit some of our cycling trails here in Banff and Canmore when you're here next month?
I don't think I will. No, well, you never know. I'm doing 2 shows, so I do have a full day off. So maybe. I will get out.
Nice. That'd be exciting. Now, because when with that cycling tour, you also kind of did you raise money for like cycling transportation and education for girls in Africa. Are you still involved with charity work like that?
Not that charity specifically. I'm not sure if they're still running. That was through a company, an organization in New York City. but I'm still affiliated with the guy who used to run that program. He is now the head of the transportation alternatives in New York City and does a lot of urban planning, cycling infrastructure advocacy, pedestrian advocacy stuff. So all that's like, I'm still tied to that world, and you know, it's still important to me.
Awesome. Cool. Now on that tour, you spent some time just busking, right? What's some things that you kind of learned from busking, like way back when you're starting to now playing bigger venues? What's kind of something you can learn? You learn from those smaller street corner shows.
Well, you learn how to get attention, and you learn what's working and what's obviously not working. I mean, there are differences. There are things that work in the busking world, like kind of in busking. You know, you're gonna have people, like as a musician, you're gonna have people watching you for anywhere between like 10 seconds and like maybe the maximum is like a couple of minutes. Someone might stay a whole song. So you can kind of get away with more gimmickry in busking. But that gimmickry is kind of like those little tricks, those performing, you know, tricks that engage people are definitely useful on any stage. And it also taught me how to project my voice without the help of a sound system. And that's really useful. I mean, no matter how big the sound system you have is, like if you can't belt it out, it's not going to sound like you're belting it out. So
right,
yeah,
right. Now, so actually, Hoxley Workman recently, like literally, just played a show here in Canmore, like this past Sunday, and you worked with him, right, on a record?
I did on Goodbye Blue Monday and on Flood. Yeah, I did two records with Hoxley.
Right, and like you also kind of like did some collaboration with Great Big Sea, Serena Ryder, a bunch of Canadian artists. Who's a Canadian artist that would be on your list? Your bucket list of doing a collaboration or working with?
That's tough. I mean, I want every single one of my friends. Like, I would love to make songs and records with. You know, Danny Michelle, for example, who I'm coming out to Banff. We've been talking for ages. About making a song or two together or a record or who knows what. So, you know, I'd put him on that list for sure.
Nice. I asked the question because I recently heard your poster or something like that was coming up, and I saw, like, at a cafe someone mentioned, oh, he would, do you know who would be, he sounded good with Joel Plaskett.
We've actually done a single together. We did a 7-inch, yeah, we wrote two songs together and recorded them in his studio in Dartmouth.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. What were those ones called?
Paper Crown and what was the other one? That was the one Joel sang. The one I sang was called Anyway, if you search Paper Crown, the other one will come up.
Right. Cool.
It's on his new Scotland Records imprint.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, check it out.
For sure. Now, what's next on your plate? Because you kind of mentioned you don't want to kind of close off the piano while it's flowing, but you also kind of want to get back into the acoustic guitar. What's kind of next on your plate?
Well, I'm building a studio in my backyard right now, and once that's done, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to move all my instruments in there, or at least the ones I still like, and we'll see what happens. But I'm kind of aiming to do a acoustic guitar record, but that remains to be seen. So,
how well do piano and acoustic guitar kind of writing differ? Is there like a big difference between writing a song on those instruments?
There is for me on the acoustic guitar. Like I do a lot of, I heavily influence the feel of the song because I'm a lot more confident playing the acoustic. And the piano, I'm a lot less confident, so I get this kind of like beginner headspace, which is challenging sometimes because it's hard for me to figure out what to do, but it's also exciting and kind of novel, and that, you know, makes me feel like a kid and inspires me to create, you know?
Awesome. Cool. Well, that's all I've got for questions wise, but do you have a message for your fans here in the Bow Valley?
I'm looking forward to hitting the mountains again, so can't wait to see you at the show.
Awesome. Actually, do you know what? Since you are a pretty strong advocate for sustainable lifestyle and transportation, stuff like that, and we've got a good community here for reaching sustainability, do you have any hints for us on how you aim for that?
Well, you know, I'm definitely no expert, but I think one thing that I would love to see happen in the world in my lifetime is us stop flushing good treated water down the toilet. I think we need a better solution to that. That would get us way ahead in the game.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time, Jeremy.
Hey, thanks for the interview.
No problem. We'll see you at the show.
Okay, ciao.
See ya.